This week's edition of the Black Country Talking News is for the 10th of June 2020. Welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by Sight Loss charity Beacon Centre for the Sight Loss community. Unfortunately, due to the unprecedented impact of COVID-19 and updated government guidance, Talking News currently cannot be distributed in CD format. The health and safety of our staff, volunteers and listeners is our main priority, and therefore we have taken the difficult decision not to distribute CDs to our loyal listeners until further notice and safe to do so. We are sorry for any inconvenience caused during this time. We are pleased to inform you that the Talking News service is continuing as an online podcast. This will be available via our website each week. The direct link can be found on our social media pages. You can also stream our Talking News service on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the British Wireless for the Blind application, and on the podcast section of the Black Country Radio website. Simply search for Beacon Black Country Talking News and subscribe to the podcast. Whilst the coronavirus pandemic continues, we will not be reporting on any community events due to cancellations and postponements. Thank you for bearing with us at this challenging time. On this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we have Christine, Pete, Mina, Ian, Helen, Talking Book Steve, Flashback Roger, Angela, and of course me, Simon. This week we will have a roundup of local news, our weekly quiz, some summer facts, our weekly Talking Book review, in our Sight Loss section this week featuring volunteer Mina and her role on the Black Country Talking News here at the Beacon Centre, our flashback section where we look at this week in history. As the football season is about to resume, we have news from our local football teams, the weather for the weekend and next week, an update from Beacon, plus our weekly brain teaser to get you all thinking. Now, we set you a brain teaser last week. How did you get on? To reveal the answer, here's Pete.
So then, what five-letter word becomes shorter when you add two letters to it? So what five-letter word becomes shorter when you add two letters to it? Well, the answer is the word short. Short is spelt S-H-O-R-T. That's five letters. And you add two letters to it. The two letters are E-R. Put those on at the end. So short becomes shorter. So the answer is short.
Cheers, Pete. Ah, short. Did you get that one then? I think this week's brain teaser might be a bit tougher. It's coming up at the end of this week's edition, but let's start off now with some local news with Angela and Ian. But first up, it's Christine.
A driver mounted a pavement and hit a teenager before fleeing from the scene. A 17-year-old boy had to be taken to hospital with leg injuries after the crash in Aintree Way, Dudley, at about 9:10 p.m. on the 4th of June. Police are appealing for information to identify the car and the driver. A spokesman for West Midlands Police said, "We're investigating after a car mounted the pavement and hit a teenager in Aintree Way, Dudley, at around 9:10 p.m. yesterday. The vehicle left the scene and the 17-year-old boy was taken to hospital with leg injuries. Inquiries to identify the car and driver are underway and anyone with information is asked to contact us." Murray McGregor, a spokesman for West Midlands Ambulance Service, said, "We were called to the junction of Aintree Way and Dibdale Road in Dudley at 9:15 p.m. to reports of an RTC involving a car and a pedestrian. An ambulance, a paramedic officer and the Merrick trauma doctor and critical care paramedic were sent to the scene. An off-duty paramedic also came across the incident and stopped to assist. The teenage boy had suffered potentially serious injuries. He was assessed and treated at the scene before being taken to Russell's Hall Hospital by ambulance. Anyone with information is asked to contact police, quoting crime reference number 20DY/11647 4A/20.
Tens of thousands fewer than expected GP appointments were recorded in the Black Country and Staffordshire during 1 month, as concerns around coronavirus put people off visiting their doctor. NHS data shows that patients booked in to see their doctor in the Wolverhampton Clinical Commissioning Group, CCG, area in April this year was down by 37% from April 2019, while Samwell and West Birmingham CCG also saw a 37% drop, and Dudley CCG saw a 31% drop in appointments.
Preparations are underway to restart limited grass cutting and grounds maintenance activities in Sandwell. The service was suspended because grounds maintenance staff were needed to assist in vital frontline COVID resilience roles. Deputy Leader of the Council, Councillor Maria Crompton, said today that she wanted people to know that staff had been doing very important work while grass cutting was on hold. She said many of our grounds maintenance staff have been redeployed during the coronavirus crisis to fulfil really vital roles, and I'm sure people understand we have had to prioritise.
More than £40 million has been ploughed into the highways network in the last 4 years, it has been revealed. Chiefs at Wolverhampton Council said the investment had allowed traffic to continue to run safely and smoothly, with £13 million available this year. But they warned that major traffic schemes for the city would have to wait to become a reality due to their need for government grants. Councillor Steve Evans, Cabinet Minister for City Environment, said, "We spent £41 million over the last 4 years and we have to rely on grants, and we've only got £13 million available for 2020-2021. If we could do everything we wanted to, it would cost £35 million, and we're reliant on grants, in particular from the government. We're looking at some major schemes like the East Park Gateway, and we've got a number of other projects for Cabinet to give its approval on, but we need that grant funding." Councillor Evans said recent changes to the speed limit on the city's main ring road, dropping from 40 miles an hour to 30 miles an hour, was necessary amid government requirements.
Parking charges are to be reinstated for visitors to Himley Hall and Park this week. The charge had been suspended during the coronavirus crisis, but visitors will have to pay again from Monday, June 8th. Fishing charges are also being reinstated, and in line with government guidelines on social distancing, park staff will be monitoring visitor numbers and restricting entry if necessary during busy periods.
Buildings will be sold off and some service areas changed in a bid to save millions of pounds as Wolverhampton braces itself for an oncoming economic storm. Wolverhampton Council is facing a series of tough decisions in the wake of the coronavirus crisis. Councillor Leader Ian Brookfield said the financial damage caused by the COVID-19 necessitated a new way of working for the authority, with more staff working from home and services redesigned. And the council could become a jobs broker, helping to get thousands of people who are made unemployed in the coming months back into work. He said the £55 million West Side project would be delayed as the city eases its way out of lockdown, with work pushed back from August to a likely start in late autumn or winter. The project is seen as the linchpin of the city's future plans, covering the Penn Road Island to Salop Street. It will feature a huge cinema, mini golf, 10-pin bowling, a multi-storey car park and restaurants. Mr. Brookfield, who has led the authority for the past year, insisted there would be no redundancies at the council and said it would not go bankrupt.
Thanks, Ian. There's more local news to follow shortly, but now here's Mina with this week's quiz.
A few questions once again on events that happened on this week in history. Now, as always, you will find the answers in our flashback section coming up later in this week's Black Country Talking News. Are you ready? Here we go. Question 1. What is the name of the British Nobel Prize winner who discovered DNA? Question 2. In what year was Donald Duck born? Question 3. Where in Greece was Prince Philip born? Question 4. Which US president demanded that Russia should knock down the Berlin Wall? Question 5. In what year did Valentina Tereshkova become the first woman to go into space? And finally, question 6. Jacques Cousteau developed an underwater breathing device for divers. What name was adopted for it and that is used today? Keep listening for the answers. If you miss them, we'll let you know all the answers at the end. Good luck.
Thanks, Mina. Time for some more local news now with Ian.
A police force in Wales has urged English visitors to check its lockdown rules after being forced to turn away 1,000 cars from a beauty spot in just 2 days. Dyfed Powys Police said they have stopped tourists from as far as London who had travelled to a picturesque area in the Brecon Beacons, known as Waterfall Country, last weekend. The force said many of the drivers stopped in the village of Ystrad Felldê claimed they did not know Wales has a 5-mile limit for non-essential journeys.
City of Wolverhampton Council has submitted a final bid for over £20 million to the government's Future High Street Fund to help deliver its ambitious city centre vision. Since putting forward an outline business case to the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government in January, the council has formulated its final plan with input from key city partners and businesses. The plans focus on transforming 38 acres to the west of the city centre, focusing on Victoria Street, Bell Street, Fold Street and the public realm around the civic halls and the West Side development. The area used to be part of the city centre's retail core, but market and consumer behaviour changes have seen its fortunes suffer, and the bid will look to address this. The exciting proposals will also complement the council's £32 million on-site investment in restoring the famous civic halls to create an outstanding music and entertainment venue. If the Future High Street Fund bid is successful, it could create 450 new jobs and potentially unlock the opportunity to deliver hundreds of new city centre homes, a new 150-bed hotel, a fantastic new event zone and public space improvements which will make the city centre greener. Independent commercial assessment shows the scheme has the potential to attract a further £185 million in direct private sector investment, and crucially, land earmarked for development is owned by the council. The outcome of the bid is expected in autumn 2020.
Only a third of dentists in West Midlands will be reopening this week, as dentists reveal that getting back into business has proven a huge challenge. The government announced that dentists will be reopening across the nation this week, but medical experts have warned people to expect a skeleton service, as many practices are not ready to go back to life before COVID-19. A poll for the British Dental Association says that just over a third of practices across in the West Midlands will reopen this week at a fraction of their pre-pandemic capacity. The majority, 64% of 229 questioned of dental practices, estimate that they will be able to treat less than a quarter of the patient numbers they saw before lockdown. Barely 11% are in a position to offer a full range treatment, and only 37% have PPE to provide face-to-face care.
Britain must invest in gigafactories if it wants to become a world leader in greener modes of technology, the West Midlands Mayor has said. Andy Street says the UK cannot afford to fall behind the likes of America, Germany and China in battery production, which he declared a big, big area of technology in the future. Mr. Street made the comments as he addressed a panel of experts about the effects of coronavirus on transport. He has lobbied the UK government to build its first proposed gigafactory, which manufactures battery cells in the West Midlands. Homegrown battery production could help boost the manufacturing of electric cars, other vehicles and energy production in the UK. Mr. Street, the West Midlands Mayor, said, "Let's be clear, there is all the health benefits of moving from petrol and diesel to electric, but there is also a huge economic benefit. This whole question of battery technology, by the way, doesn't just apply to cars. It applies to all forms of transport, and it applies to domestic energy as well. Britain has got to be in a leading position in this technological area."
The number of mourners allowed at funerals in the Black Country has increased as part of an easing of lockdown measures. All four Black Country councils have now lifted previous restrictions of 10 mourners after a review by council bosses. In Dudley, burials at cemeteries have been extended to a maximum of 30 mourners so long as they stick to social distancing. At Gornal Wood Crematorium, 16 mourners can now attend inside the chapel, while another 15 can be outside where they can listen to services on speakers. At Stourbridge Crematorium, the limit inside the chapel remains at 10 mourners due to its small capacity. However, 15 mourners can now gather outside. In Wolverhampton, the restrictions have been lifted only slightly. A maximum of 12 mourners can now attend funerals. In Sandwell, the number of mourners has now been extended to 20 people at Sandwell Valley Crematorium, and at Rowley Regis Crematorium, the limit has been extended to 16.
There are early signs that people are starting to return to hospitals' A&E departments, and the lockdown has been eased, an NHS boss has said. Toby Lewis, Chief Executive of Sandwell's NHS Trust, said there are encouraging signs that confidence in hospitals was returning, but that numbers were still way down compared to pre-pandemic levels. Health bosses have been alarmed by the huge drop in people attending A&E departments across the region, amid fears some with serious conditions are refusing to seek treatment and potentially putting their lives at risk. Attendance has been down by almost half at some Black Country hospitals since lockdown was imposed in March.
Thanks, Angela. Now, we've just moved from spring into summer. Or have we? To tell us more, it's Pete.
So, the summer. Well, it begins in June and is the warmest season in the UK. And this is due to the Northern Hemisphere being tilted towards the sun. But when exactly does summer begin? Well, the meteorological summer begins on the 1st of June. And the meteorological seasons are split into 3 months. So that's June, July and August. Well, that's pretty simple, isn't it? But then there's the astronomical calendar, which states that summer begins around the 21st of June. So who do you believe? The 21st of June is the summer solstice, which is also the longest day of the year, a day when the sun reaches its highest point in the sky. Now, did you know that every year on the summer solstice, a unique baseball game is played at the Grodin Memorial Park in Fairbanks, Alaska, and it's known as the Midnight Sun Game, where the sun is out for almost 24 hours on the solstice, and so the game begins at 10:30 p.m. and it ends around 1:30 a.m. without any artificial lighting. Also, did you know that here in the UK, Milton Keynes Central Road is designed for the summer solstice? So when the sun rises on the summer solstice, it shines straight down Midsummer Boulevard and reflects in the glass of the train station. That's clever, isn't it? Now, after the 21st of June, the days then start to get shorter until we hit the winter solstice, which occurs around the 22nd of December. On average in the UK, July is the warmest month and June is the sunniest, while rainfall tends to vary. The highest temperatures in the summer tend to be seen around London and the southeast, with the cooler temperatures further north in Scotland and northern England. Now, more thunderstorms occur during the summer than at any other time of year. The warmth of summer often provides the perfect conditions of rising air and moisture required for the creation of thunderstorms. And in the UK, they are most likely to occur in the East Midlands and the South East. Now, here's some more summer facts. On the 2nd of June, 1975, would you believe snow showers forced the abandonment of several cricket matches across the country? Snow in June. The coldest temperature ever recorded in the summer in the UK is -5.6 Celsius. And that was recorded in June 1955 in Dalwhinnie. And that same temperature was recorded again on the 1st and 3rd of June in 1962 in Santon Downham in Norfolk. Did you know that on a hot day in Paris, the Eiffel Tower grows taller. The tower is constructed from iron, and when this is warmed, it expands, causing the structure to grow by up to 17 centimetres. The warmest ever summers in the UK were tied. In 1976, 2003, 2006 and 2018, when daytime temperatures averaged 15.8 degrees Celsius. And the hottest temperature ever recorded in the UK, well, that was last year, on the 25th of July 2019, when Cambridge University Botanic Gardens recorded 38.7 degrees Celsius. But on the other hand, also in 2019, the UK experienced a spell of very wet weather in June. In parts of Lincolnshire, around 2.5 times the monthly average rainfall fell from the 10th to the 12th of June, with around 600 homes in Wainfleet evacuated and nearly 130 properties flooded when the River Steeping burst its banks. And there was further wet weather across East Wales, North England and Eastern Scotland. So that's summer.
Thanks, Pete. There's more weather facts coming up a bit later on with Mina. But for now, let's head back to the local news with Angela.
Around 1,000 people gathered in an act of solidarity supporting the Black Lives Matter movement. Wolverhampton's West Park hosted the rally on Sunday afternoon, joining many others across the UK over the weekend. It came as protests was also held in Dudley's Coronation Gardens. Around 4,000 people also attended a gathering in Birmingham City Centre on Thursday.
A Black Country MP has urged ministers to smooth the path for the early return of the British gambling industry. John Speller, the Labour MP for Worley, welcomed the return of live horse racing, which restarted last week for the first time since the coronavirus lockdown. He said live sports would boost the economy as well as morale, saying racing supports more than 80,000 jobs, while the betting industry supports 100,000 jobs. Highlighting its contribution of £3.2 billion in tax each year, he called on the government to ensure an early return for the properly regulated, job-providing, successful British-based gambling industry. Sports Minister Nigel Huddleston responded by saying millions of people across the country will be relieved to see racing back. The past week has seen horse racing return to UK tracks, including Newcastle and Yarmouth, with jockey Dane O'Neill riding a series of winners. The sport had been suspended since March the 18th.
Stourbridge's High Street could be closed to traffic due to its narrow paths as part of plans to allow social distancing to be maintained as shops reopen later this month. Elsewhere in the borough, the authority is looking at widening footpaths in busy pedestrian areas. Council bosses are working on a raft of measures to guide visitors in Dudley Borough town centres and to ensure social distancing can be followed. After the government announced non-essential retail stores could reopen from the 15th of June as steps to ease the coronavirus lockdown continue. Measures could include widening footpaths by using part of the road in areas where there is a high footfall. Signs, floor markings and one-way pedestrian access are also planned in some areas. Some car parking bays could be temporarily suspended in town centres so they can be used to widen footpaths. The council is looking at the measures in line with a revised 7-day legal process introduced by the government, which allows council to introduce the temporary measures, which include installing barriers and informing pedestrian flow in each of the town centres. Car parking charges also currently remain suspended.
Video consultation calls and virtual waiting rooms are helping to ensure patients in Dudley get the care they need during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Dudley Group NHS Foundation Trust, which runs Russell Hospital, outpatient centres and healthcare services in the community, introduced the Attend Anywhere technology during the coronavirus lockdown. The Trust will be keeping the system going as it moves to a new ways of providing healthcare post-coronavirus.
More than one in five people in the West Midlands have been involved in volunteering since the coronavirus lockdown began, new research has said. According to a study on Britain's economy during isolation, 22% of people in the region have volunteered to help others, which is 3% higher than the national average, while nearly 60% of West Midlanders have done food shopping for other people. The research by Legal & General also reveals that 3 in 5 people are planning to use more local shops, such as butchers and fishmongers, after the lockdown is over. Across the UK, around 10 million adults are said to be serving as an informal volunteering army, supporting local communities and helping vulnerable people. The work has an equivalent value of £357 million, according to the research, with each individual contributing on average 3 hours of their time.
West Midlands Police has the worst record in the country when it comes to solving burglaries, with nearly 9 in 10 cases closed without a suspect being identified. In 2019, the force closed 22,070 cases without pinpointing a suspect, 89% of the total number recorded, while just 1,166 burglary cases resulted in someone being charged. The Home Office figures show that Staffordshire Police failed to find a suspect in just over 3/4, 76%, of 5,005 burglaries. Meanwhile, West Mercia Police identified no suspects in 72% of 5,726 residential and commercial burglaries. The figures were released following a Freedom of Information request by the Lib Dems, which showed that forces across England and Wales abandoned investigations into more than 300,000 burglaries last year, with a third of forces closing at least 80% of cases before they were solved. West Midlands Police says it has no officers dedicated to dealing specifically with burglaries. The region's Police and Crime Commissioner, David Jamieson, said that burglary offences had fallen in the latest crime statistics and that with the right level of resourcing, the force could do more to tackle the crime. He added, "We know that around a half of all burglary is committed by those with a drug addiction trying to pay for their habit. It is vital that the right support services are available to support these people and get them off the drugs and into recovery and employment. I'll continue to follow the performance of West Midlands Police closely, and I hope that we continue to see burglaries fall across our region."
Thanks, Christine. Our final local news roundup to follow shortly, but now it's time for our regular Talking Book section with Talking Book Steve.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Talking Books with Steve Terry. Audiobooks, or talking books as you may know them, are recordings of books that you listen to rather than read. Audiobooks can be exact word-for-word versions of books or novels, or shortened, abridged versions. You can listen to audiobooks on portable music players, mobile phones, desktop computers, laptops, mobile tablet devices, home speaker systems such as an Alexa, or in your car if your car supports audio streaming. So the history of talking books. When did they and where did they come from? Spoken audio has been available in schools and public libraries and to a lesser extent in music shops since about the 1930s. Many spoken word albums were made prior to the age of cassettes and CDs and downloadable audio content, often of poetry and plays rather than books. It wasn't until the late 1980s that talking books began to attract the attention of book retailers, and then book retailers started displaying audiobooks on bookshelves rather than in separate displays. Before talking books were available digitally, they were sold in physical form on analogue cassette tapes and sometimes vinyl records. However, with the invention of the internet, a vast selection of audiobooks are now available online from many, many different sources. And we'll take a look at some of the sources a little later on. Audiobooks may come at times as fully dramatised versions of the printed book, sometimes calling upon a complete cast, music, and sound effects, Effectively, these audiobooks are known as full cast audiobooks. Now, as a huge fan of Star Wars, of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and of the Marvel Universe, I myself am a massive ambassador for full cast audiobooks, particularly science fiction, especially Star Wars full cast audiobooks. I have to say, the music and the sound effects just make for a rather special experience. So do look out for these and give them a try. Now, I mentioned earlier that we would touch upon some of the many, many websites and apps that provide access to audiobooks, both free and paid for. This isn't an exclusive list, but to name a few, you can access audiobooks and talking books via your local library service. So your local library will have a selection of audiobooks, as well as large print, paper or hardback books to loan, and an online library of e-books, e-magazines and newspapers. The RNIB, or Royal National Institute of the Blind, for those of you who are not familiar with them, is a UK-based charity which offers a talking book library service. With over 30,000 audio books available to borrow, which are all free to print disabled adults and children. The RNIB's audiobooks are provided in a number of formats and can be delivered to the reader's house by post as a CD or USB memory stick with free postage return. Now, quick tip, just on the RNIB's offer, their CD formats are able to hold one talking book, but their USB memory sticks are able to hold up to three. So bear that one in mind if you do use the Royal National Institute for the Blind to order talking books. And finally, I'd just like to mention another source of audiobooks, that is Caliber Audio, another national charity lending free talking books to anyone who finds print inaccessible or is considered print disabled. Now, there are many, many other sources of audiobooks, and I'll continue to share these with you over the coming weeks. Feel free to get in touch, drop us an email, drop us a telephone call, and let us know what books you'd like reviewed. Thank you for listening. Please, please, everybody, stay safe, and remember, Beacon are here for anybody that needs them in this rather unprecedented times. And if you do find yourself at a bit of a loose end, why not have a look at a talking book? Take care. Speak soon.
Thanks, Steve. Time for our final Alka News roundup now with Christine.
Plans have been launched to build a new Aldi store in a Black Country village. The proposals would see a new 1,315 square metre store built off Zor Street in Lower Gornal, Dudley, with 115 parking spaces. Aldi says the store could create up to 50 local jobs. A public consultation has been launched and the German-owned firm has written to 2,000 residents in the area. No planning application has been made yet, but the store could open as early as 2021. Due to the coronavirus pandemic, a virtual exhibition is being held from June the 4th to June the 15th and a live chat tool will be available on the 4th of June from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. People will be able to view the plans and share opinions through an online questionnaire.
A suspected modern slavery victim has died after being locked inside a cannabis factory when it caught fire in the Black Country. The man, aged 43, died in hospital after being rescued from the blaze in Briley Hill by firefighters. A second man, aged in his 20s, was also pulled from the unit and taken to hospital. He has since been discharged. The men were locked inside the factory unit at the Premier Estate in Brockmoor, meaning they had no way of escaping when the fire took hold at around 7:30 on Thursday the 4th of June, West Midlands Police said. Detectives believe both men have been trafficked into the UK and were being held against their will in the unit, which has been converted into an industrial cannabis factory. Officers are now appealing for anyone with information to come forward and are particularly keen to speak to the pilot of the drone which was flying over the unit when the blaze started. The cause of the fire is still being investigated and forensic specialists are continuing to examine the scene off Lees Road. Police have not yet confirmed the nationality of the men.
Lollipop men and women will be helping children to cross roads near seven Dudley Borough schools from this week. Dudley Council's School Crossing Patrol Service is gradually resuming as coronavirus restrictions continue to ease and more children return to school. Remaining school sites have been risk assessed and more will be reopened as additional work is carried out to ensure social distancing is possible.
The owners of Merryhill Shopping Centre are to have crisis talks with lenders in the shadow of a potential administration looming. Debit Hit Into Properties has put KPMG on standby to handle a potential insolvency process. It is seen as a contingency plan in case lenders do not give the Briley Hill Shops complex owners breathing space to pay back debts reported to have grown to £4.5 billion. Into, which has declined to comment on the report, operates 17 shopping centres across the UK, including Lakeside in Essex and Manchester's Trafford Centre. It will know if an agreement can be reached within the next couple of weeks. In the meantime, Merryhill will be operating as usual, with many of the non-essential shops preparing for reopening on June the 15th. A range of additional safety measures have been implemented inside the centre to ensure social distancing. Shoppers are asked to follow a marked route and to keep 2 metres apart at all times. Hand sanitisation stands have also been placed at key points throughout the centre.
National Trust properties across the Midlands are set to reopen their gardens for public for advance bookings only. Parkland and Gardens, a Shugborough estate near Stafford, and Whittick Manor in Wolverhampton and Dudmaston Hall near Bridgnorth will be available to visit this week. The properties, shops and cafes in each attraction will stay closed. Bookings must be made in advance, including National Trust members, in order to manage the number of visitors numbers and ensure social distancing rules are adhered to. Visitors without bookings will be turned away. Entry and parking is free for members, but non-members will need to pay in advance. Visitors will be asked to book one per ticket per person. Under fives go free and do not need a ticket. A 30-minute time slot to arrive must be selected when purchasing tickets. The time slot is for arrival times only, and the length of time you can stay will depend on the opening times of the place being visited. Shugborough will be open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day, and Whittick from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day. Dudmaston's Park will be open at 11 a.m. and its gardens from 11:30 a.m. with both to close at 5 p.m. It will be closed on Fridays and Saturdays.
Wolverhampton City Centre roads will be temporarily changed this week in a bid to encourage more people to walk and cycle and aid in social distancing. Roads will be pedestrianised or made one way, with footpaths widened, after government chiefs called for the changes amid the coronavirus pandemic. It comes after the Ring Road speed limit was dropped from 40 miles an hour to 30 miles an hour, with the changes introduced on a trial basis, subject to public feedback. The changes will see the pedestrianisation of Victoria Street from its junction at Queen Square to the junction with Bell Street. Deliveries will be permitted at certain times, with Darlington Street, Queen Square and Lichfield Street made one way to vehicles travelling in a westerly direction to Chapel Ash. It will allow the creation of a new two-way pop-up cycle lane and pavement widening, with pavement widening works set to take place in Stafford Street. They will be widened through the use of cones to make it easier to maintain safe social distancing measures to curb the spread of coronavirus. The move will see changes to bus routes and the location of bus stops along the affected routes, with the changes funded with government cash. Other changes in the next few weeks include the provision of cycle storage and bike parking spaces, as well as exploring the options around a trial of e-scooters.
Thanks, Ian. Now, did you know that Beacon has over 300 volunteers helping to deliver our critical and much-needed services? Last week was National Volunteer Week, so let's hear it from one of our Talking News volunteers. Mina, you'll probably recognise the voice.
Hello, my name is Mina, and I'm a proud volunteer for the Talking News at the Beacon Centre. Usually, I would attend the Beacon Centre every Wednesday to record my scripts for the weekly edition of the Talking News. I would normally do this in the recording studio with other members of our Talking News team. During the coronavirus lockdown, however, I have had to record my scripts on my phone or my iPad from home with technical support from my family. Once completing the recording, I then send it back to Pete Moody at the Beacon Centre by email. On the Talking News, I deliver questions and answers, quiz of historical events that have happened on that particular week's calendar date. For example, when is the Queen's actual birthday? The answer is 21st of April 1926. Did you get it right? I have also been fortunate enough to be the weather lady too. Although I've missed working in the recording studio at the Beacon Centre, I'm extremely proud of the way our Talking News team has worked really hard to keep it running in these difficult times. I have enjoyed the opportunity to continue to support the Beacon Centre during these unprecedented challenges, as our Talking News is vital to our listeners. Due to my visual impairment, this experience has further helped me to express confidence with my voice. Staying connected with our team and listeners has also given me great pleasure and helped me with my mental health during the lockdown period, as it clearly shows a great community spirit willing to support each other through this pandemic.
Thanks, Mina. We'll have more about Volunteer Week and Mina in Beacon's update a little bit later on. You'll find the answer to our quiz next, though, with Flashback Roger.
This is our flashback section, where we look at events that happened this week in history and where you will find the answers to the quiz questions that were set earlier. On June the 8th in 1916, British biochemist Francis Crick was born. He, along with his American colleague Jane Watson, were co-winners of the 1962 Nobel Prize for discovering the structure of DNA. The full name for DNA, by the way, now wait for it, and listen very carefully because I shall say this only once, is dinucleotide or something or other. Okay, you got it? I've been practicing that for hours. Now, on June the 9th, 1934, Donald Duck made his film debut with the release of The Wise Little Hen. And this is the date that Disney uses as his birthday. So, happy birthday, Donald. June the 10th, 1921, Philip, Prince of Greece and Denmark, was born on Corfu. And, of course, became Duke of Edinburgh when he married Princess Elizabeth, who became our Queen. So, Philip is 100 next year, they, eh? I wonder if he'll get a birthday card from the palace. Next day, on June the 11th in 1910, Jacques-Yves Cousteau was born. The famous French marine explorer and maker of many and interesting underwater films has discovered so much about marine life. His 1953 book, The Silent World, predicted the echolocation abilities of porpoises and contained the first printed use of the word aqualung, which he developed. June the 12th, 1987, the then US President Donald Reagan makes his famous proclamation, "Tear down this wall," in a speech calling for the leader of the Soviet Union, Mikhail Gorbachev, to tear down the Berlin Wall that had divided West and East Berlin since 1961. The Berlin Wall would ultimately come down in 1989. On June the 13th, 1944, Germany launched the first V-1 rockets, striking London during World War II. Known as the V-1 flying bomb, at its peak the Germans were firing more than 100 a day at southeast England. June the 15th, 1215, The Magna Carta was signed by King John at Runnymede, an historic moment and where the basis of all modern law and moral code that is used today across the democratic world is used. Amongst other things, it also provided a uniform system of measurements. June the 16th, 1963, saw the first woman to go into space. Valentina Tereshkova flew a solo mission aboard the Soviet Vostok 6 and so became the first woman in space. This also makes her the only woman to fly a solo mission in space. When asked how she wanted to be rewarded for her service, she requested that the government find out where her father was killed during World War II. And this was done, and a monument now stands at that site. Well, I hope you do well with the quiz this week. So till next time, bye for now.
Thanks, Roger. Now, the football season stopped in March due to the coronavirus pandemic and is due to resume from next week. So with news from our local football clubs, it's Ian.
Wolves have been handed their opening set of provisional fixtures for Project Restart. On Saturday, June the 20th, they will play West Ham away with a 5:30 kickoff, and that's been broadcast on Sky Sports. On Thursday, June the 25th, they are playing Bournemouth at home with an 8:15 start, and that's being broadcast by BT Sport. On Sunday, June the 28th, they'll play Aston Villa away with a 12 o'clock kickoff, and that will be on BT Sport. Wolves fans will still be making their presence felt at Molineux despite the remaining four home games being played behind closed doors. The club are creating a giant mosaic to make supporters feel part of the action upon the Premier League's restart. It will cover the whole of the South Bank, and fans, who are not allowed at the ground because of the COVID-19 outbreak, can get their face on it for £7. Supporters had until Tuesday the 9th of June to apply. Wolves have a team checking the uploads in case anything inappropriate is submitted. Meanwhile, West Bromwich Albion are building towards the Championship's provisional restart date of the 20th of June and expected to enter the third and final phase of the EFL's training protocols this week. Albion's players followed individual training programmes in the weeks after the season was suspended on March the 13th and returned to work at the club's training ground on May the 25th and are currently allowed to take part in limited contact sessions. The Baggies are due to restart their campaign with a home match against Birmingham City, with every fixture due to take place behind closed doors. And the Albion fixtures in full are as follows. They play Birmingham City on 20th of June, 3 p.m. kickoff, and that will be on Sky Sports. On the 26th of June, they play Brentford away. That's a 7:45 kickoff and will be broadcast on Sky Sports. On July the 1st, they will play Sheffield Wednesday with a 7:45 kickoff. And on the 5th of July, they play Hull City at home with a 3 p.m. kickoff. Aston Villa twice came from behind to draw 2-2 with Albion in a behind-closed-doors friendly on Saturday. With Dean Smith's side getting ready for a Premier League survival fight and Slaven Bilic's men preparing for a Championship promotion push, they faced off at Villa Park and John McGinn made his comeback from a long injury layoff. Baggies winger Kamil Grozicki made it 1-0 to the visitors before Kynan Davis equalised for Villa. Filip Krovinovic then put Albion back in front with Villa skipper Jack Grealish coming up with another leveller. McGinn was on for half an hour as the game was split into three 30-minute periods. The two squads of 25 players plus coaching staff arrived at the stadium in their own kit and their own cars as they adhered to new protocols. Albion have also held talks over facing Manchester United in a friendly ahead of football's restart.
Thanks, Ian. We'll keep you posted as the football season progresses here on the Black Country Talking News for all you sports fans out there. But now, the answers to this week's quiz with Mina.
As always, our questions are about events that happened on this week in history. So, how did you get on? Let's see. Question 1. What is the name of the man who discovered DNA? The answer?
Francis Crick. Question 2. When was Donald Duck born? It was 1934. Question 3. Where was Prince Philip born? The answer is he was born on the Greek island of Corfu. Question 4. Which US president told Russia to bring down the Berlin Wall? The answer is it was Ronald Reagan in 1987. It took 2 years for it to happen and it came down in 1989 after 28 years of division. Question 5. In what year did Valentina Tereshkova go into space? The answer is 1963. And finally, what is the name that was given to Jacques Cousteau's revolutionary breathing device? The answer is the aqualung. Those using the system are often called scuba divers. Scuba stands for self-contained breathing apparatus.
Thanks, Mina. How did you get on then? I'd rather not talk about my score. Anyway, we have a brain teaser for you coming up shortly to test you again. But first, what's the weather got in store? Spring has sprung, gone, but it's been very warm, hasn't it? Here's Mina again to tell us more.
Did you know May has become the sunniest calendar month on record in the UK? It has been the sunniest spring on record for the UK and all the home nations, and the driest May on record in England. 626 hours of bright sunshine were recorded in spring 2020 for the UK and have exceeded the previous high 555 hours, set in 1948 by over 70 hours. Wow. But back to June, and for the weekend and week ahead. The sunrise and sunset times are sunrise 4:45 a.m, sunset 21:33 p.m. It looks like some warmer but rainy weather coming up, so we may need our umbrellas. On Friday, 12th of June, we have light rain and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 20 degrees. Saturday, 13th of June, light rain and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 22 degrees. That's 9 degrees warmer than last Saturday. Moving on to Sunday, we have Sunday, 14th of June, we have light rain, showers, and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 23 degrees. Monday, 15th of June, light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 23 degrees. Tuesday, 16th of June, we have light rain and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 23 degrees. Wednesday, 17th of June, we have light rain and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 22 degrees. And finally, Thursday, 18th of June, again, light rain and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 22 degrees. Enjoy the weather.
Even in the rain? Thanks, Mina. Time for our regular update from Beacon now with Helen.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here with your weekly roundup of the news from the Beacon Centre. We hope all our listeners are keeping well and managing to cope in what continues to be challenging times for us all. This week is National Carers Week, and with the focus on unpaid carers, we want to give a shout out to all those who've been looking after a loved one at home in the past few months. That might be you or someone you love. When we're looking after a family member, it can be difficult to recognise that as care. And while most wouldn't change it for the world, being an unpaid carer can be relentless, exhausting, worrying, and isolating. But if this is you or one of your family members, we want to let you know that we understand what a juggling act it is and how hard it can be. Don't forget, if you've got an issue that you think we could help with, please get in touch. Call us on 01902 880 111. Now, As you may remember, last week we were celebrating our volunteers here at Beacon, and we wanted to let you know a little about the winner of our special recognition award in the annual awards. It went to the amazing and Talking News' very own Mina Ratu. Mina is such a special lady who goes above and beyond to support Beacon. She helps out across the charity and uses her own experience of sight loss to help raise awareness and educate. As you may know, she's a regular volunteer with Talking News. She also helps us out with our sight loss awareness sessions, supports the delivery of employment workshops, and supports our fundraising quiz nights. She's always willing and makes herself available at the drop of a hat to help out whenever we need her, and has made a big difference to the many services that Beacon provide due to her positive attitude and willingness to help. Thank you, Mina. You make such a difference for so many people. Lastly, while our centres are still closed to visitors due to the government's coronavirus restrictions, we're still supporting those at Beacon Court, the independent living facility at our Sedgley site. Since the start of the pandemic, we've provided more than 255 shopping deliveries and 25 pharmacy collections, as well as more care such as personal, hygiene, nutrition, and even guide dog walking. Our fantastic kitchen team are making and delivering nearly 200 meals per week, and we've also made sure that we look after those who would normally attend our activity centres. We have more than 100 new volunteers helping us with befriending, and we've made over 1,000 welfare calls to date. We still need your support though. If you're able to, you can donate £5 by texting Beacon Crisis, that's all one word, to 70085. Texts cost £5 plus one standard rate message. It will help us continue to provide these vital services. Thanks all, and take care.
Thanks, Helen, and well done, Mina. Once again, thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. If you have a sight loss tip, someone you'd like to wish a happy birthday to, or just say hello to, maybe a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us via bctn@beaconvision.org or call in the Beacon Centre on 01902 880111. We'd love to hear from you. Have a good week, and we'll be back next week. Let's finish off now with this week's brain teaser from Pete. Ta-ra!
And to finish, a brain teaser. So I've got a particularly tricky one for you this week. So are you ready? How many seconds are there in a year? So how many seconds are there in a year? That is tricky, isn't it? It's actually easier than you think. We'll give you the answer next week.
So that's it for another edition of Black Country Talking News. If you would like to contact us, you can do so by calling us on 01902 880111, emailing us at bctn@beaconvision.org, or send a letter to Black Country Talking News, Beacon Centre, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV46AZ. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers, who without their support we'd be unable to run this free service. So it's goodbye from all of us, and please note that the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News, and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods or services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors.